Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Pro football, and in particular the NFL, is today a billion-dollar business, but it was not always that way. Baseball and college football were much more popular than the pro version of the gridiron. This was so much the case that only a small percentage of the early pro teams survived beyond the Great Depression. Join us as we examine the climate of sports and the meeting that set up the organized pro game in motion.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hey, are you ready for some football? Some fantasy football? How about some daily fantasy football? Silly questions, right? Of course you are. You're ready to talk some smack and win some cash every Sunday and Thursday and Monday and whenever there's football games. The Sports History Network invites you to play your daily fantasy football this season at ThriveFantasy.com. Thrive Fantasy offers hundreds of thousands, millions in cash every day on NBA, MLB, PGA, golf, cricket, esports, and of course, NFL football. Every week during the 2021 NFL season, Thrive Fantasy has pool play contests and heads-up matches with prizes of all sizes, and even free play contests for real money. Sign up with Thrive Fantasy today to get a 100% match bonus on your first deposit for up to $100 in free daily fantasy football play. Visit sportshistorynetwork.com/thrive, that's T-H-R-I-V-E, or enter promo code SHN when depositing at the cashier. Join Thrive Fantasy today, earn cash prizes, and support great shows like this at the Sports History Network. Now that's a win-win-win situation for you to kick off your own NFL season.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and today we're going to dive into a meeting that took place over 101 years ago on September 17th, 1920. You've heard about this famous meeting in Canton, Ohio at Ralph Hayes Hotmobile Showroom quite a few times with guests and in posts and podcasts here on Pigskin Dispatch and on the Sports History Network. What exactly was the significance of this famous meeting and who was in attendance? We'll take a deep dive into this pivotal gathering in this edition of the Pigskin Dispatch, diving back into the September 17, 1920 meeting. First, let's take a good look at the lay of the land in football. College football was all the rave in 1920. Professional football was considered by many to be just a bunch of college has-beens trying to relive their past glory by some. And others, like Walter Camp, Amos Alonzo Stagg, Fielding Yost, Bob Zupke, pretty prominent coaches in the college level, and great organizers of the game, the founder of modern football, Walter Camp. Well, they pretty much despised players getting paid to play the game. They wanted college football in its form of amateur sports to survive like it had been, because that's what people were going to. Now, author Julie Desjardins, a professor of history at Baruch College, states that in her biography of the gridiron founder, that Camp portrayed football more than any other burgeoning sports as providing the forced discipline, sense of danger, and physical hardening white college men needed to retain power in the modern age. The father of modern football's basic philosophy was, better make a boy an outdoor savage than an indoor weakling. Camp even came up at the time of his death. He was pleased with the spread of college football and the game that he helped formulate. For God's sakes, the man died in the 1925 NCAA Rules Committee of Football. But what did he think about the game spreading to pay players. It's hard to find evidence of this exact opinion of pro football, but here are some breadcrumb clues that we can piece together. Now, Roger Tamte, who also wrote a biography on Walter Camp, in his book that's credited with much of football's evolution from rugby to soccer, tells us in one of his last interviews that Camp stated that he was worried that football had gotten too big. He felt that many of the universities, it was overshadowing even academics. What would he think of the pro game today with billions of dollars being made by some players only attending college to improve their draft status? I'm sure, but I think he may frown on some of those byproducts that have occurred by his brilliant idea of college football. Now, Amos Alonzo Stagg, well, we know exactly how he felt about players getting paid. He didn't like it one bit. On more than one occasion, Stagg spoke out against paying players. In Craig A. Conan's book, From the Sandlots to the Super Bowl, 1920 to 1967. The author states that Stagg threatened to have the University of Chicago sever all ties with players of the Maroons who went on to get paid professionally to play football. Conan also quotes the University of Michigan's head coach of the era, Fielding Yost, as saying, "Good pay and short hours are deceptive. At 30, the boy's likely to be without a job, without a business or a profession." I mean, there's even reports that Bob Zupke, the head coach of Illinois, soon after at a banquet, after Red Grange left the University of Illinois and jumped right 4 days later to play with the Chicago Bears professionally, that Zupke sort of made some comments that sort of enraged Grange, and the two didn't talk for years after that. So, you know, they all preached promote amateur sports for football, and they did not like the pro game. Well, let's go to this meeting that started it all. So these meeting of brave men, pioneers of professional football, were bucking the system of football in that era. College football was king, and the crowds and the publicity they drew proved it. But these men that got together in Canton, Ohio, had a vision, one where great collegiate players could go on to play on the gridiron after graduation and play the game they loved, and maybe even possibly make a living doing so someday. Earlier attempts to form a pro league were thwarted by World War and Spanish flu pandemics, but in 1920, the timing seemed right. Author Chris Willis, in his great book, The Man Who Built the National Football League, Joe F. Carr, says that only four of these franchises met in Hayes' offices at the Hupmobile Showroom back in August 20th of 1920, almost a full month before our big meeting we're talking about. Besides Hay and his Bulldogs players, Jim Thorpe, Frank Need, and partner Art Ramney of the Akron Pros, Cleveland Indians manager Jimmy O'Donnell, and PR director Stanley Kofall, and Carl Stork, the manager of the Dayton Triangles. Well, they met, and they decided that they were going to have a bigger meeting on September 17th, and they're going to even invite more franchises that maybe would come and play. So 11 franchise delegations met, or at least sent word in that they were interested. They chipped in $100 each to start the American Professional Football Association, which would change its name in a couple years to the NFL. There was not enough seats for everyone to have one, so some of the guys sat on the floorboards of the cars in the showroom. You know, you can picture that. You can see some of these old paintings of the Hupmobile showroom. And, you know, Hay even served Prohibition draft beer in buckets for the men to drink while they talked. And I told you when I went to Hall of Fame weekend here in 2021 that I had the lunch after the parade at the Canton Brewery. And the Canton Brewery claims that on that very spot where they were, the Canton Brewery, they produced some Prohibition beer that was sold to Ralph Hay, which is sort of right around the block. His showroom was from the Canton Brewery, and that's the beer that they drank. Others claim that, you know, the Bender's Tavern, which was almost catty corner from the Hupmobile showroom, they got the beer from there. But maybe it was a Canton Brewery beer sold at Bender's and taken across the street. We'll go with that one. That sounds like a great story there. Well, the teams represented at the September 17th, 1920 meeting were the Chicago Cardinals, Decatur Staleys, Canton Bulldogs, Muncie Flyers, Rock Island Independents, Hammond Pros, Rochester Jeffersons, the Massillon Tigers, Cleveland Indians, Akron Pros, and a Dayton Triangles. Well, we know that the very first order of business was the withdrawal of the Massillon franchise from professional football in 1920. The league would pick up the Buffalo All-Americans, the Columbus Panhandles, and Detroit Heralds, and the Chicago Tigers prior to the start of games being played. And that first game was just a little over a week later. It was a game featuring an APFA team would be played on September 26, 1920. That was a game, it was an independent team were playing an APFA team. October 3rd, well, they had two games scheduled. We've talked about that quite a bit. You know, we had Rock Island and Muncie playing, and at the same time, I believe it was Columbus and I think it was Dayton at that time, the Triangles playing. So those were the first two APFA versus APFA games. Though the names have changed and locations of the teams, most of the teams didn't survive, except for the Cardinals and the Staleys, who would later be rebranded as the Bears. The Young League fought through some hard times, scandals, the Great Depression, and even a Second World War. However, the dream of these early founders would grow, and I bet they'd be proud to see what became of this unwanted professional football league in today's world. It's a world where, you know, at the very least, the professional football is on the same par as college football. Many believe it's far surpassed it. You know, there's billions made in each of them. But, you know, the NFL on a Sunday, wow, I mean, there's the country stops on those games, and it's celebrated. Super Bowl Sunday, wow, what a thrill that is. You know, it's almost become a national holiday. Yeah, and it was all the dream of these men. And, you know, imagine these owners putting up money for something that nobody knew if it would work or not because it wasn't popular at the time. Imagine the risk that they took and the risk and the hardship maybe they possibly put on their family. And these early players traveling by train, sometimes not getting very paid very much at all, working a day job and then going playing it, get done it on Friday, hop in a train and go and play it on Saturday and Sunday in some far off town. And you know, risking their lives, no insurance. You know, if they got hurt, you know, they couldn't work their regular job, they couldn't get paid, and they couldn't play football. You know, they were just probably cast aside. So imagine that. Think about these brave men that, and the ladies, you know, the women that they were married to and their spouses, girlfriends, mothers, you know, that supported them, what they did to promote the game we love, professional football, and in particular, the NFL. Just something to think about. And it happened September 17th. And we present this to you on September 17th, 2021, 101 years after the fact. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hope this was a little bit of a history lesson, a reminder of, you know, some great things that happened in the past. And we hope you have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here. But we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines. So be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.